Good morning. You all may be seated. We welcome you this morning to the first Sunday of Advent, to our service of the hanging of the greens. Sometimes in church, we can assume that folks inside or outside the church understand everything that's said and done, all the traditions that we sometimes follow. Perhaps we can follow traditions sometimes without even knowing why. In today's service, you're going to see a variety of presentations and readings by a variety of people, which will tell why we do what we do. And it will help us understand the meaning of these Advent traditions. So it should be a fun, informative, and hopefully meaningful worship service this morning. I'd like to share with you this morning our scripture reading from Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and just the first four verses from that chapter. This is Luke writing to his friend Theophilus, to whom the book of Luke was written for. And Luke is also the same one who wrote the book of Acts. And that was also dedicated to his friend Theophilus. Luke writes, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us." In other words, Luke is saying there have been a lot of people who have written about or are trying to write about everything that we saw and heard, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. He said, "With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." We're going to be talking today and showing today in different forms the certainty of things that we have been taught. Susan?
Good morning. Pastor Haisley has already welcomed you to this, our first Sunday in Advent. You may have noticed a few more changes to our building this morning. You've probably noticed the beautiful banners, several Christmas wreaths, and the pine garland along the aisles. These most recent changes happened yesterday as some of us got together to get our church ready for Advent. Just like we get ready for the holidays in our own homes, we are getting ready here because we are expecting a special arrival. You see, Jesus is coming to stay with us. That's what Christmas really means. It's time to get our hearts and our houses ready to receive the newborn King. I invite you to join in the preparations as we sing this morning. Now, we're going to be singing four different carols throughout this service.
We call this service the Hanging of the Greens because so much of what we use to decorate with includes evergreens.
Long ago, in cold countries where the snow covered the ground, some trees were still green. They were evergreen, ever alive, even in the middle of winter. People cut some of the greens and brought them into their houses and put them by the fireplace.
Christians saw their neighbors do this. They said the evergreen trees reminded them of everlasting life, the gift of Jesus Christ. Early Christians placed evergreens in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered the home.
So we get ready for Jesus by putting up greens. Every time you see green branches in the wintertime, think of Jesus. Jesus shows us the way to everlasting life. But we also decorate with other items. For example, we always place holly and ivy in our sanctuary.
If you remember your ancient history, you may know that the winners of the races back then got a wreath of laurel to wear on their head. Early Roman Christians put laurel in windows to show that Jesus Christ was the winner in their homes.
In Old England and France, holly and ivy took the place of laurel. Holly leaves are shaped sort of like a heart, and so are ivy leaves. The heart-shaped leaves can remind us of the holy spot where God set foot on earth, where God's heart is revealed.
The red berries mixed in with the evergreens remind us of the blood that Jesus shed for us. The holly wreath, with its thorns and red berries, has come to symbolize the crown of thorns worn by Jesus at his crucifixion. And the round wreath reminds us that God's love surrounds us. The circle that has no beginning and no end reminds us of eternal life.
Good morning. The song we're dancing today is called Broken Things, and as soon as I heard it, I knew it was going to be a drummer boy song. So we have our drummer boys here, and I wanted to make sure you knew, when we talked about the story of the drummer boy and how the boy wanted to bring something for baby Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator, the Majesty, but he didn't have anything except himself, but that's what he brought. And so I talked to the boys about what could they bring for baby Jesus, and you think that that would be something hard to do? Not for our kids. They knew instantly what to bring. The first thing they said was me, and then they said life, my life. And so today they have broken pieces that they're bringing to Jesus, and I want you to make sure you have a chance to see what they wrote down, because the broken things that they thought of are the same stuff we deal with. And I want to make sure you remember that there we can all bring these things to God. He has a much greater plan of completion for us, but we have to bring our brokenness to him because he brought himself to us. The chorus says, I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. I wish I could bring so much more. But if it's true that you use broken things, here I am, Lord. I'm all yours.
When you go way up north, the winters are long. It gets dark soon after lunch, and it stays dark until after breakfast the next morning. People in Norway and Denmark are used to take a wooden wheel and put candles on it. During Advent, we remember living in the dark and waiting for God to send the true light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world.
Advent is a time of expectation, and it is symbolized by the lighting of an Advent candle on each Sunday of the season. The flame of each new candle reminds us that something is happening, and something more is still to come. The candles are arranged in a circle to remind us of the continuous power of God, which knows neither beginning nor ending. When you see Christmas lights and light Advent candles, let them remind you of Jesus, the light of the world.
This morning, as we participate in the hanging of the greens, we begin a very special season in the life of our church by lighting the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope. We put our hope in the one to come, the promised one who comes from God to bring good news of salvation. Like the little lamb and the shepherd boy listening to the night wind, we hope in the one who will lead us to walk in the light of the Lord. We hope he will not let us live in dark valleys, but on the high mountain of God. We light this candle in hope. On this day, we remember to hopefully listen and look for the coming of Christ.
One of the most familiar greens of all is the Christmas tree. Today, the Christmas tree is the center of many of our festivities.
I enjoy putting the Christmas tree up, especially when the children get to decorate it with their mittens and their scarves. It's a very special moment here in the church. The Christmas tree has very many legends associated with it.
One legend says that the first use of the Christmas tree was in the medieval German paradise place, held outdoors and portraying the creation of humankind. The tree of life was a fir tree decorated with apples. Later, other ornaments were hung on them, such as paper flowers and gilded nuts. In England, branches or whole trees were forced into bloom indoors for Christmas. From these beginnings, the use of a tree at Christmas time was established.
Another legend says that Martin Luther was out walking into the winter's darkness when he was struck by the beauty of a little evergreen fir tree. He brought it into his house and decorated it with candles, a reminder that the light of the world was once on its way.
So the use of a candlelit tree spread to all of Europe. Then America came to regard it as the central ornament of Christmas.
From the beginning of Christmas celebrations, gift giving has been a part of the season. The wise men gave out of their treasures, and the shepherds gave of themselves. Both express the gift of God in giving Christ as the Savior of the world.
History tells us of one generous giver in the story of St. Nicholas, Bishop of Myra in Lycia in the 4th century AD. The good bishop gave his money away secretly to those whom he found in need. He was deeply interested in young people and the very needy. Gifts coming from unknown sources were commonly attributed to him. And parents customarily gave him credit for their gifts to their children. Many of our gift-giving traditions may have originated with St. Nicholas. As you give or receive a Christmas gift this year, may it remind you of God's love for you and the gift of his son, Jesus. And now I invite our ushers to come forth to receive the morning's tithes and offerings as we seek to give a portion of our many financial gifts back to God.
Let us pray together. Here we are, Lord, on this first Sunday of Advent. From the youngest to the eldest, still all children, anticipating, excited, looking for that which is to come, the celebration of the birth of our Savior. Lord, it is the season of gifts. And we have just received an offering and pray your blessing upon these gifts. But we confess this is not enough. Lord, teach us to give as the wise men gave the valuable things that they had, as the shepherds gave that which they tended, which they cherished and cared for. Teach us to give, Lord, of ourselves, hearts, minds, souls, spirits, bodies. And Lord, not only we pray you will teach us to give, but teach us to receive your gifts. Gifts symbolized by the love of others as we will gather around a Christmas tree at home and share with our families. Gifts of your word during these Advent Sundays as we pay attention to the lighting of the next candle and hear the word proclaimed. Help us to receive this gift. Above all, O God, cause us, every one of us, from the youngest to the eldest, to receive that most precious of all gifts, the gift of your only begotten Son, that those who believe in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, Lord, here we are, from the youngest to the eldest of us, still children, anticipating, excited, and looking forward, not only remembering things of the past, including the birth of Jesus, but looking forward to his glorious appearing once again, his second coming to this earth, when he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all will bow the knee to proclaim his grace, glory, and goodness. May it be so, Lord, that some of us will be alive and remaining when he appears. May it be so, Lord, that every one of us, whether alive or asleep, will be part of that great resurrection morning and the wonderful reunion of person with person, family with family, loved one with loved ones, but especially our reunion with the one who is the shepherd of our souls, our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
One of the most heartwarming expressions of Christmas is the Nativity.
The Nativity speaks of the mystery of God's wisdom. why God chose to send his son into our world as a baby of humble birth, born in common surroundings, we do not know. What we do know is that God reached out to all people, including the poor and the wealthy, the simple and the wise, the powerless and the powerful. All who found him knelt in humility before him, knowing God is possible because he came to us at our level. Whenever we see a nativity, we find ourselves with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men bowing before the manger, overwhelmed by God's expression of love in coming to us.
As I mentioned earlier, the Gospel of Luke begins with a greeting that Luke writes to Theophilus. Luke says, I want to tell you what really happened, the true story of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. And Luke, who was a doctor and a good friend of Paul's, he often traveled with Paul a little bit later on, Luke said, I have gone and spoken with the eyewitnesses. I have spoken to the ones who were there when these events happened. As I said, Theophilus must have been a very good friend of Luke's, and who also wrote the book of Acts, and he also dedicated that book to Theophilus. Theophilus may have been someone who came to faith in Christ through Luke, and Luke, wanting to give him the true foundational story of Christ, lays out the facts for him in those books. That is my purpose in sharing with you just briefly today, to lay out some foundational facts so that, as Luke said, you can know for certain, you can know the truth, the veracity of what you've been taught. From the early days of the Hebrew nation, the faithful had been expecting the Messiah to come. There are prophecies throughout the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. Moses had prophesied about such a Messiah. All the greats of the Old Testament had prophesied about the coming Messiah. From the earliest of times, they had this hope that God would send a mediator. God would send one who could stand in the gap, who could pay the penalty for our sins and bring us to the very throne of God. That hope that they had was based on God's own promises. But in the time just prior to Jesus' birth, there had been no new scriptures. There had been no new prophecies for around 400 years. And the nation wasn't doing all that well either. They were a vassal state of the Roman Empire. But there was something in the air. There was something in the air. Secular historians recorded it. The Bible hints at it. There was a growing expectation that now was finally the time when the Father was going to send the Messiah. Young girls throughout the nation, they prayed that they would be the one chosen to bear the Christ child. People prayed the Messiah would come and lift the nation from the depths of defeat. All throughout the nation, there was a feeling of hope. Hope and expectation go together. People were expecting God to intervene. It has always been that way. Deuteronomy 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. It was true then. It is still true today. When God's people pray, God sends hope. God sends an expectation. And God will answer their prayer. As Romans 5:5 says, hope does not disappoint. Do you need some hope today? Do you need some hope in the midst of your life? Do you need some hope about the situations of your life or perhaps about your loved ones? Find hope. Find hope in Christ. Hope for the Christian. It is not based on circumstances. It is based on God. and who God is and what God has assured us about His Word. That is why, for the Christian, there is always hope, even in the midst of difficulty. Did y'all hear what happened last week? Did y'all hear what happened last week about Larry and Elmo? Have you heard that story? Have you heard the story that happened this past week of Larry and Elmo? Okay, you're all giving me a bunch of blank stares, so I'll assume you haven't. Larry and Elmo are a couple of guys from inner city Columbus, and for whatever reason, they decided they wanted to experience a different side of life, and so this past week, they decided, we're going deer hunting. And so they hopped in the car, and they came up here to Fredericktown. And as the story goes, they were no more than 10 minutes out of the car until they found themselves hopelessly lost. I mean, they were just completely lost, and they didn't know what to do. Well, they stood there and looked at each other for a little while, and Larry finally said to Elmo, wait a minute. I remember reading somewhere that if you are lost in the woods, you should shoot 3 times in the air, and then just wait. Wait right there, and after you've shot 3 times in the air, somebody will come for you. And so they decided, okay, we'll do that. And so they shot 3 times in the air, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. Nothing happened at all. And Larry looked at Elmo and said, that's the only thing I know to do, so we better try it again. And so they shot 3 more times in the air, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And still nothing. Well, finally, toward, you know, reaching the end of their hope, they decided they would try 1 more time. And Elmo said, I sure hope it works this time. We're down to our last 3 arrows. Christians, folks, we're not to be stupid. But our hope is to override apparent circumstances sometimes. Think of the unlikeliness, if you will, were it not for God's promises of God coming to this earth, of God sending His Son. Think of the faith that it took to trust that God was going to keep His word, as so many did in the nation of Israel. And there's another component of this hope that I want to touch on. It wasn't just 1 or 2 in the nation that were hopeful and looking for the Messiah. No, it was a widespread expectation. It was widespread because the people had shared their hope and had spread their hope to each other. That's the thing about hope that has been sent by God. That is a component of the gospel, and you can't keep it to yourself. Hope shared is hope increased. And the best hope to share then and now is hope about the Lord. So our Christmas hymn that was highlighted today, Do You Hear What I Hear? That's what that song is all about. Sharing what has happened. Sharing that our hope has been realized. It is said that Christmas is a time for sharing. And I agree. People hopefully are a little more kind this time of year than normal. Perhaps many of you will find a needy person or a family to help out at Christmas. We should share in that way. But the best thing we can share, the thing we should be the most anxious to share, is the news about the Lord. Do you hear what I hear? Have you heard what I've heard? The Messiah, the Son of God, God Almighty, has come. He is the one our hopes rest on. I am not going to sit down and write out a lengthy account of the life and ministry of Jesus as Luke did for Theophilus. That's not practical for most of us to do. No, but what we are to do instead, we're to share, we're to tell, who Jesus is and what He's done for us. That's sharing our hope, and that's the true telling of the Christmas story. Have you heard this morning? Christ has come. Our hope has been realized. And for that this morning, we praise God. I ask this morning, I urge this morning, put your trust in the one who came for you. To conclude today, let us reflect. Christ has come. But unless you have asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, what the story of Jesus' birth is to you is a nice, true story, but it has no real practical effect in your life. But if you want a changed life, a new and living hope, and hope in the Bible means you trust God is faithful and God will make it happen. That's what hope means in the Bible. Except that Christ came. Except that Christ lived. Except that Christ died. Except that Christ rose from the dead. Accept and understand and receive that Christ accepts your prayer of forgiveness and gives you life eternal. Do you have the living hope that the Bible speaks of? Or will you have another Christmas? Another Christmas season that will pass by with no real change in your heart or life? These are, as Luke wrote to Theophilus, the facts of Christmas. What will you do with them? What will you do with them? Today we are going to close with the most famous of Christmas hymns, Silent Night. I ask you prayerfully to use this time to ask for forgiveness of your sins, to have the living hope that He will give you, and to walk away from here today with life eternal through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Do you have that living hope within you today? Otherwise, this is just a nice bit of pageantry, but it has no real practical effect. Have you received Christ? Do you have the living hope of Jesus within you? That is what He came to bring. And so as we sing our closing hymn, I say to you, use this time. Turn to the Lord. Thank the Lord for what He's done for you. And leave this church today a changed person. This morning we join with that heavenly chorus, with those angels, those shepherds, later on with those wise men, in bowing down before you and worshiping you and acclaiming you king. And as the kids did this morning so wonderfully in that dance number, I pray that we will bring you our broken pieces. The things in our lives that we have not given over to you, Lord, this Christmas season, we will not only with our lips but with our hearts declare you our Savior and our Lord. Thank you. Thank you for coming to this earth. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you that we have life eternal in you because of you. And we will live for you and glorify you now and forevermore. And all of God's children said, Amen.